Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to
The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Deja vu. You got to hear that twice tonight, so maybe it's because you're going to get a double dose of sparks, I guess. Hi, I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to be with you. The time that you're invested here at Spark. The fire's still burning, I hear. So, in this season of spring here in the Midwest United States, actually on my drive home, there was a number of fires and ditch burning. You know, burn back the old grass and get ready for the new birth of growth in the spring. So whatever season you're in, wherever you're listening from in the world, as always, we appreciate the fact that you're spending some time here with us at Spark. And our goal is to indeed bring you those sparks to be the impetus to ignite change in your life. Tonight, our focus is on sparks of being the CEO of your life. And so I hope that you're ready for the challenge to reclaim your place, your position as CEO in your life, because you are the only one who can promote yourself or demote yourself from that position. So hopefully you are interested in strengthening your role, maybe getting some clarity around how you could be the CEO in your life, especially when there are situations happening around you over which you feel you have little or no control. Because often when we think of a CEO, we think of the person that's, hey, the buck stops here, and they get paid the big bucks, and they're the most knowledgeable, most experienced, most this. Well, you know, ultimately, a CEO is a person who probably has the most control in the company, probably has the, or at least feels they have the most control. Sorry, had to cough. So I may disappear from time to time during our segment because of that. And so the important aspect around feeling like you are the CEO in your life is, do you feel that you have some control in what's going on with you, or are you feeling like you're a victim of circumstance? So tonight we'll explore some strategies to help you shift and move closer to and perhaps regain your belief in your position as CEO of your life. You know, and just for a moment, just play with me with this idea to say, I am the CEO of my life. Did you say that out loud? If not, try it out loud. I am the CEO of my life. How did that feel to you? I was fortunate enough to teach a class on Monday night. Excuse me again. And that class was called Be the CEO of Your Life. And I had a wonderful group of participants join me for that course. And all of them were interested in the concept of being a CEO. And how could they do that? Because it sure sounds pretty exciting. And more exciting, perhaps, than where you feel you are right now.
So how do you become the CEO of your life? First is to realize that you always, always have control or can take control over what happens between your ears. How you think, what you choose to feel in certain situations. Sometimes there's an initial emotional response, and that comes often with as a survival piece when we're in extreme danger. Sometimes we create that danger for ourselves. It's a perception rather than a reality. And Dr. David Diamond, who is a neuroscientist, does research in the impact of stress and memory. And I really like his definition of stress. It's the one I use when I have my seminar, Choose Your Stress. And that is that stress is a physical and emotional response that happens when we perceive we have no control. Stress is a physical and emotional response that occurs when we perceive or think we have no control. So if you can change your perception, you can change your stress response physically and emotionally. I'm excited because I'll be offering my first webinar coming up the end of this month, and I'm happy that you're the first to learn about it here at Spark. It is a one-hour webinar called Choose Your Stress, where we will cover some of the biological responses to stress, and then most importantly, from there, some strategies that you could use to choose your stress. So if you're interested in participating in this webinar, please send an email to brainbonanza@gmail.com. The webinar is free, and the recording will be available for purchase through the Brain Bonanza store. So it's an exciting time for new technologies. Seating is limited, so please send your email and put in the subject line, stress webinar, please, and we will get back to you as soon as we receive it. Your email, well, at least within 24 hours is our goal, and get you registered for those limited seats, because that really is the first step to being the CEO, is to truly believe that you have control over what you think, over how you feel, over how you choose to act. Because now, what happens in the world happens, and you still have control. I meant to tell you tonight that our show is only 30 minutes long because there's another commitment that I have. Also wanted to mention, because I'll be talking a little bit about Kevin Eikenberry's work with Remarkable Leadership, and I'm excited to share with you, he will be my guest on May 6th from 7 to 8 o'clock. And we'll talk about some aspects of leadership. He has so many remarkable tools at his disposal. In the next week or so, we'll be nailing down exactly what areas we'll be talking about. So if you have some issues around leadership, his book is entitled Remarkable Leadership, Unleashing Your Leadership Potential, One Skill at a Time, by Kevin Eikenberry. So, are you a leader in your life? Absolutely. We all are. We lead our families. We lead in our work with coworkers, even if we lead by example only. We're leaders. We make decisions for our lives. We're the leaders of our life. Now, if you're in a situation or a circumstance where you truly feel you're unable to regain your control as the CEO of your life, I highly recommend that you consult an outside resource, a helpline, a hotline, a church minister, someone who can really talk to you, a coach, a mentor, to really help you with the idea that you truly can be the CEO of your life and make those choices in your life. So let's talk about some tools and strategies that you can use to truly be and live as the CEO of your life. Now remember, there's nothing about a CEO that's perfect. You know, sometimes it's like, well, if I was a CEO, then everything would be going well for me. Well, most CEOs will tell you they have bad days. They have
Sometimes catastrophic events happen. Sometimes with everything that they had done correctly, there's an outside factor that impacts the result in a negative way. So, you know, a CEO is the person who looks at the situation and, yes, has to make that final decision about what action will be taken. And effective CEOs know that they want a really strong team, a really strong board of directors, a very strong support board to consult with as they are assessing their next action steps. Because very rarely are CEOs highly skilled in all areas. Very rarely would they tell you that they run their companies alone. Effective CEOs have amazing teams to whom they can delegate, to whom they go for consulting expertise, and they balance the input from their team in that decision-making process. So the question then is, who is on your board of directors? Who do you consult when you have questions about an area that may not be a strength for you? Think about that. Think about who you want to have on your board. Now, and very rarely do we assess our board, so here's a time where you can look at those people who you listen to in your life, whose opinions you're taking in your life, who maybe they have judgments about you that you have taken on and owned in your life, positive or negative. You can decide whether you want to keep them on your board or you want to fire them, because you can do that. And some of you may say, well, how can I fire my mother? Well, you just allow her opinions to be her opinions, and your value as a person is separate from that. And as I shared before, it sparked a wonderful process to help you with beliefs that you carry. It's called The Work, T-H-E-W-O-R-K, The Work by Byron Katie. It can help you shift some of those beliefs, especially some that you think are unchangeable. Because it's very freeing to realize that it's the stories we create in our minds that create the drama and the stress in our life. And we can rewrite that story anytime. So I recommend that you visit thework.com by Byron Katie. I'll put a couple of her books with this segment. So for those of you listening in the archives, if you'd like to see some resources, you'll be able to check that out, as well as Kevin Eikenberry's book, Remarkable Leadership, and Yvonne Oswald's Every Word Has Power. So the question is, how do you deal with those voices in your head, those participants on your board of directors that you may not want there anymore? You may have decided to fire them, and yet they come back loudly and clearly many times a day. There are some tools you could use. And if you ever tried to argue with a child, you know that they get louder and more stubborn when they think that you are not hearing them or not understanding what they're trying to say. And that voice in your head is often the same. So as much as you try to tell them to shut up, take a hike, get lost, it gets louder and more persistent. So try just acknowledging. Thanks for your help. And then move to another thought. The voice is like, well, now. So, you know, and thanks for helping me in the past. I'm ready for something new now. And you can make up all sorts of ways to acknowledge that voice in a positive or at least a accepting way, and then replace it with what you truly want. So if your voice is critical, it's saying, isn't my mother's up to you, Bell, and you're going to be late to your own funeral. And then I say, well, Mom, at that point, I won't have any control. And she said, you'll find a way. And so we chuckle about that, although that's colored my decision-making around time for many years. And so when I hear that voice come up, I say, thanks, Mom, and to my voice in my head. And then I say, I am
on time and move on. So there's not an argument, there's not a debate, I just replace it. Now, one of my students Monday night, and I've also had clients in other seminars who said, you know, if I say that, I really have a problem because I'm lying, because I'm not on time. So, well, let's look at it this way. You could tell the truth in advance because the reticular activating system of your brain wants what you believe to match what's happening in the world and in experience. And so if you're putting in there, I'm on time, and the RAS is going, oh, my gosh, we got to make this on time. We got to, you know. So that's a one approach. Another approach is to recognize the power of not, in that my regular listeners will know that the brain has challenges around negations and nots because it doesn't know how to visualize a not. Not what? How do you visualize not sitting? Well, you're standing, you're lying down, you're something. And so the brain skips over not. I will not forget to let the cat in as I will forget to let the cat in. Well, you can use that to your advantage by saying, I am not on time now. Your brain skips the not and says, I am on time now. So you can choose higher energy, more positive language, and feel more honest with yourself, if that's been an issue for you in the past. So instead of, I am sick and tired of blah, 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 whatever it is, I am not happy with whatever it is right now. Brain says, I am happy with this. So you begin to feel a shift happen. Now, as we've talked about recently, and as it was a pleasure to help my students discover on Monday night, that when we're in a situation, we can't see the forest for the trees. As one of my students said, he said, you know, I can see, I can help other people. I just have a terrible time with myself. Well, it's because we're in the middle of it. So we only see the trees immediately in front of us. The issue is pressing right now. We don't see the bigger picture. So we need a forest ranger up in the tower who we can call to give us that bigger picture. We need someone outside of the situation. Now, put someone on your board of directors who can help you do that. A coach, a mentor, a positive, supportive colleague. Now, by the way, positive and supportive does not mean they say yes to everything you say. Positive and supportive means they encourage you. They challenge you in a positive and supportive way. They remind you that you can be and are successful at many things in your life. So as a CEO of your life, when you have a situation you need to deal with, you want to get some expert support, advice, input, who do you call? Who's in your BlackBerry, or in your cell phone, or in your Outlook file, or whatever organizational system you have for your network of people? Who's connected to you on LinkedIn? And please, you're welcome to join me or link with me on LinkedIn. You'll find me at Melanie Hoffner, MelanieHoffner, at LinkedIn.com. And the same is true on Facebook. So I invite you to join me, and just when you ask to be friends or to link, just let me know that you're a listener at Spark, because very intelligent people listen to Spark Radio, and I'm happy to connect with you and expand both our networks. So now we have a larger resource pool from which to draw in those situations. So as CEO, think about who you want on your board of directors. And know that you can fire people who are not helpful. Fire people who are encouraging you down a path you would rather move away from. now. As do CEOs know their strengths? You bet. Effective CEOs do. Now, some have blind spots and don't realize that they've got some weakness areas. And the ones who are effective know those weaknesses, and they delegate to other people. They surround themselves with people who are good in areas where they're weak so that they can focus on their strengths. That's something you could choose to do. Now, your question might be, well, I don't know what my strengths are. So there are some wonderful tools you can use. Now Discover Your Strengths by Buckingham. There's an online Strengths Finder assessment, and there's a code that you can get from if you purchase the book, Now Discover Your Strengths. And I realized I'd forgotten to make a note of the books that I said I would post. And that's a great place to start to get your top five strengths. So once you know what your strengths are, you can decide which ones you want to use. And are you using them often? I read a quote in the last week by Ann Gottlieb that said, "It's so hard when I have to, and so easy when I want to." My question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is who decides if you have to or you want to? Or I get to is another way to say I want to. And think about the feeling difference. Say that, especially if you're facing something that you are less than excited about. And today is April 15th in the United States, which is the federal tax filing deadline. And while I can do accounting, it's an energy drain for me. And so often I have a less than positive attitude. So that's something I've really been working with, is my languaging around organizing receipts and reports. And I do hire an accountant to deal with the brain bonanza business and personal, because that is much more complicated. And seeing I have to do my taxes, I have to pay my taxes, it is a drainer. Saying I want to do this so that I can move beyond this to something I enjoy more. I want to complete this project so I can move to whatever's next. Try that the next time you find yourself in one of those situations. Oh, I have to. And the question is, really, do you? Do you have to? Or are you choosing to? Even saying I choose to do this comes from a position of control. There are very few things we have to do, my friends, and the consequences for some, though, are so negative we don't consider them as options, like caring for our children or paying taxes. But those are choices, things we get to do. And even chores we dislike. Growing up in a large family, 7 children, doing dishes, oh, as we got on the oldest, so as you get older, okay, we got into this rotation where, you know, one would wash, one would dry, but we had to do the dishes for 9 people. That's a lot of dishes. And so I developed an aversion around that doing the dishes thing. I apologize for that phone ringing. There we go. And so I've had an attitude around dishes that I carried well into adulthood. I was excited we moved into this house because we had a dishwasher. Yay! Well, the dishwasher bit the dust, and we decided we weren't going to replace it. We were going to use that money for something else. And so the attitude shifted around dishes. And now instead of, oh, I have to go do the dishes, it's, you know what? I am grateful that I'm able to wash dishes, that my hands, my arms work, that I can see. Now, some of you are chuckling to yourselves, well, that's pretty extreme. You know what? Try it sometime. When you're doing something, you're faced with something that you've been dragging your feet with or feel like you have to do, focus on being grateful for the opportunity and the ability to do whatever that is, and see how it changes. Your energy level goes to a much higher place. You feel better in the process. You get the chore done, and you feel in control. And that's truly what's at the core of being the CEO in your life, to feel that you're in control. Now, there are some people who say, well, I'm not in control because God's in control or the universe or a higher power is in control. Well, what happens if you don't listen? And that's another segment down the road when it comes to faith, because we have free will, we have a choice. So you can choose whether or not you follow. So you do have some control in your decision making. That, give yourself that gift, even for 5 minutes. I am the CEO of my life. I can choose whether I'm upset at this moment about my son Alex's obstinance doing his homework, or I can choose to be grateful that I have a son, take a deep breath, and talk about what's behind his emotional outburst, and to talk calmly about it. Now, as a mom, that's not always the first place I go, especially with working and projects and time pressures, just like all of us. You know, there's this reaction, and when we're feeling out of control, there's an emotional response. Taking a deep breath, focusing on being in the moment, being grateful for something and appreciating something, and then coming back to focus calmly on the situation. Sometimes I have to go into the bathroom for that refocusing moment. I'll just say, can you hear I'm frustrated? I'm going to walk away. I'm going to get control, and I'll come back. And that's something I'm really trying to help Alex learn too, that you know what, when you're really angry, really sad, really upset, it's okay to walk away. You can go to your room and till you calm down and want to come and talk about it. And then we can talk about a solution and some options. When we're really emotional, it's hard to solve a problem or to talk about choices and solutions. So you need to get down from the emotional intensity first. And sometimes as adults, we escalate it by verbal intensity battles with our kids, by saying, because I said so and I'm bigger than you, or because I'm the mom, I said so, or a lot of different things that we hear ourselves say, and then we think later, what was that coming out of my mouth, and who was I? And I've gone back with my son, too, and we've had that conversation about, you know what, mom's been really focused on trying to get taxes done, and there's a time pressure, and so it's challenging when you choose to be uncooperative. So can we talk about what would be more fun than that? And we do. We talk about making different choices. And it's much more fun when we laugh together and we do things together. And then we can work on a compromise. When you remember, I am the CEO of my life. I control how I think, how I feel, what I say. And if I'm feeling stressed, there's something that I'm feeling out of control about. Take a time out. Breathe. Take a walk if you can. Remove yourself from the situation if you can for a few minutes until you can calm and center yourself so that you can be rational again. Because when we're intensely emotional, the amygdala, the limbic system in our brain is running things, and that's a different part of our brain than the part we need to be rational and problem solving. So as we're winding down our final minute tonight, your action for this week might be check out some of these resources to change your language. Maybe it's to repeat that phrase, I am the CEO of my life. What choice am I making right now? I look forward to being with you again next week. And remember, as the CEO, you do have control over what you think you feel. You say, you do. And may you, as the CEO of your life, choose to create the best life that you can. And as you look to discover your strengths, to use those strengths to bring you joy and be in service to others. Thanks so much for being here. Please share this with a friend and come back
rate our show, and we'll see you next week. Until then, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.